No, it says it is.
Because I turned it on and used it.
Well, before we really get to the kids, I think the girls are going to be here. But I just, something happened to me the other night, not last night, the night before. And I keep saying, it's like I get somehow taken into the Holy Spirit University. And it's a strange thing. It's like, I should have known that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Scripture. They keep coming. And I want to read something. And, you know, we've been talking about the ministry of the prophets. I don't think we have been anywhere near understanding what a prophet is. Let me read. You know, it has said this all along. I didn't see it. It says in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Your eyes upside down?
Are they still up to that? No.
Those are the old glasses.
Not these glasses.
Oh.
the other glasses are at the house.
Okay.
But if I had them, I could read better.
If you.
Well, no, I can't. Because the trifocals are on the top.
On the wrong side, right. Yeah.
I can see everybody here really good with the upside down.
But then I could no make mistakes.
But then I got to take them, I'd have to take them and go down like this and see through the, you know.
Yeah,
but I discovered this morning that through the trifocal parts of them, I could see very, very good with if they were Swiss.
Where is
But it says...
What's that?
1 Corinthians 14:1. Mm-hmm. We're familiar with this. Hello, hello. And it says, follow after charity, love. Follow after charity. But it says, and desire spiritual gifts. Okay? But rather that you may prophesy. Rather that you may prophesy. And then we have that he that speaks an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. And he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation. Okay, that's a verse. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, to get edified. He exhorts men and he comforts. There's not anything in here about predictions. See, we have looked at the idea of a prophet as somebody who proclaims the future and predicts the future. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is really not the ministry of the prophets as is in 1 Corinthians 14. That's not what they do, except they do. In cases that if somebody comes in and people are prophesying, they'll be convicted because the prophecy will more than likely point out their failures and their weaknesses. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, he said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. And then in another place, he said, I speak with tongues. I don't know yet. But here he says, I would that you all spoke with tongues. But rather that you prophesy. And then, let me see if it says this. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret in this. So, what the reason for prophecy in this chapter is for the edification, the clarification, the revelations, the understanding. That's what it is. I couldn't see anything in here that says, about predicting the future. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's why it says over here, it says, let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and then let the others judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. And there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, great peace have they that love the law or the word of God. Great peace have they that love God's word. and nothing shall offend them. You know what? I'm not familiar with that. I have seen nothing but people being offended over the years. It's just constant. You can't correct anybody. You can't, you know what I mean? It's just, and why? Can you tell me why?
Because they don't love the law?
Well, it's more than that.
Okay.
Because they think that they're the ones that are speaking. If you're a prophet, or if you're speaking for God, you're speaking for God.
Right.
But when you're speaking for yourself, then you get offended.
Because if I...
Just like my other thing that I'm talking about.
Just like your eyeglasses.
My spectacles, yeah. You know what I mean? That's getting to be fun. I told him. Corky says, you need to go to somebody else. I said, well, right now it's becoming an issue. You know?
What are you talking about?
Explain. I don't want to answer that.
Well, tell me later.
Okay. I talked about it before I got the tape recorder. But anyway, the reason that God has given this ministry in here, they called it the prophets, this... If I were to think of this from everything that I have ever learned, I would say we're not talking about prophets. We're talking about preachers, and we're talking about teachers, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But here it calls them prophets. And it gives them a ministry that the church is not familiar with. It's revelation. You know how we have been talking about people in Revelation? I have never seen, I never saw it before. But here it says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. Well, you don't judge a prophet. He's going to get offended. Except, and the Azusa Street Revival, they had a different setup, and we're going to see that. It's coming. We're getting close to it. And a man would get up and start to preach. And somebody that was more familiar with the word, they'd say, brother, you're not anointed. You need to sit down. Try that in any church that I'm familiar with. Don't tell him what to do. He's God's anointed. You know what I'm saying?
No.
But... We have to come to the place where, you know, even right here, don't be offended. And that's why I tried to set up a precedent here. It's like, correct me. But you're the pastor. I don't care who I am, correct me. I'm more interested in being right with God in the scriptures than I am my own personal whatever. But it's God's anointed. You don't touch God's anointed. Is that what the scripture says, Tim? That is what the Old Testament says. That's not God's anointed. And so people say, I'm God's anointed. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. Then we can all go to hell with them. I put that kind of bold there, bluntly, but I'm not beyond or above making a mistake. And I have been one. And what I want, and there are some issues that I don't know. I'm not even sure what. But at the same time, as we do what we're doing, and let's become. It says, I would say that follow after spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And then we get a picture of a prophet here that I never really understood. We're not talking about predicting the future. We're talking about, what does it say? He that prophesies speaks. Well, prophesies speaks unto men to edify, edifice, which is a building, they build them up. You speak unto men to build them up, to edify. And then it says, exhort them, but if you exhort people, they can't be offended when you exhort them. Mm. And to comfort. Is that not what has been happening as we have started to realize that people are becoming prophets? That's what a prophet is. For you may all prophesy, it says.
Yeah.
Didn't it say that?
You know, it was occurring to me that it talks about, you know, two or three speak and let the others judge.
Yeah.
And that's more of a prophetic process. And I think that's what occurs. We have a prophetic process that occurs.
Yeah.
The last Wednesday we were talking about the subject of fasting. And, I think it was a prophetic process. It wasn't that there was one prophet that spoke for God, but the upshot of it was the back and forth and so forth was a prophetic process.
I am beginning to understand that, Johnny. What you're talking about. I'm beginning to understand that.
It seemed like, the upshot of it, the upshot of the whole thing was, I think we have got a find on this thing.
Well, and see, what happened is, we have this tendency to think that we somehow have more than we really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been there for years. And so what you do is, the Holy Spirit gives this one something, this one something, this one something, this one something. And through the process of a time span, you start getting a better picture. You start, it says that you may all learn. That you may all learn. I got things that were obviously nuts, off kilter. And I'll say this, but Dale just called me just the other day, and he goes to a church out in Court Lane. Nobody will hear this, so it doesn't matter. And the pastor, it's a Trinitarian church, and the pastor is kind of adamant, or has been. And Dale has said there isn't such a thing as a Trinity. And so they haven't really seen eye to eye, because that is a big, major issue. And so, so the pastor left he called a sabbatical. And I know where he went. But when he came back, the first message he preached, Dale says, he says it just knocked him and, him and almost knocked him off their seats in the mirror. Because he said, I'm beginning to realize that there are a lot of things in that we teach and preach that are not right.
Oh,
yay. And I told Dale, I said, glory! Get waking up. Wake up thou that wake up that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And here it is.
Amen.
What brought him to that conclusion? I don't know. Dale didn't know either, because he hadn't had a chance to talk to him about it.
Say the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think, sir.
And that's what has to happen. The church has got to wake up.
You have to listen to the church.
And Christ will give you light. Where does Christ give you light? Right here.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was just and what did you say? We were talking about fasting. You know what? After all of these years, I don't understand it. Because there are too many things that are, there's a lot of things like that. I should,
What was interesting on Wednesday, we were talking, there's not a lot of information on this subject. You know what I mean? It's like, I wish there was more, because I don't understand it, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit kind of holds them. And all of a sudden, we have so much more input and information and knowledge and understanding on this with the same scriptures that we always knew. You know what I mean? But it's like, well, at least personally, I gained a lot on the subject.
I did too.
It's like I gained knowledge with the same knowledge I already had. It's like I didn't know more scriptures, and it's just like the same knowledge bloomed or something,
yeah.
You know, or flourished or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see James and Brittany and their sweethearts.
And their sweethearts, yeah.
They got a
bunch of
them. About six more you left, doesn't
it? Right. Yeah. I wonder if it'll actually get me cheaper. Cheaper by the dozen? I don't think so.
A dozen to the dozen.
This is a good spot right here. I can see who drives in.
Can you see?
Yeah, I think it was Chelsea, but I'm not sure. But
I have something I'd like to share if I could.
Yes, sir.
Gene and I, we have, I won't say most mornings, some mornings. We have morning devotions, and it involves reading the Lord's Prayer, and as Jean was reading it, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And it occurred to me that when you do that, when you say that, it is, I am turning this thing over to you, God, so I'm not going to be concerned about daily bread or any of those other kind of mundane looking after yourself stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it is almost a giving to the Lord this whole issue of your mundane concerns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you say, give us, yeah. Take care of this, Lord.
You're right.
I'm not going to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just telling Keith yesterday, I don't even know if he heard me, but, he's always asking me how am I doing with work and whatever, and I tell him, you know, I got so much more work coming up. Anyways, in the past, if I don't have so much work lined up or whatever, I start getting a little anxious, a little worried, you know what I mean? Because just to cover how my work is, it's not like an 8 to 5, five days a week, every, you know, it's different. And I always have this little, ooh, but you know what? That's lifted. And if I know what, I'm sick of being worried.
Good.
You know what? God has proven Himself so much, so many times. It's like, now to me, just this, what am I going to do next? It's almost embarrassing, ridiculous. You know, I'm not saying that I'm 100% like, okay, if I had zero money and $1 million of bills coming in and no work, it's a little different, but it's not there anyway. And I'm not saying I am exactly following exactly everything, but a lot of what you're saying has lifted on my worry, on my concern. It's just giving me my daily bread, and I don't even know if I'm talking about the same thing you were talking about.
A great testimony was about a couple months ago.
And I was getting to worry, and I didn't have much part-time work going on and stuff, and I kind of thought, well, I could use it. So I said something, and we prayed one time. And then we had the most snowfall and bread everywhere that's ever been there. So I'm sorry about that, but, you know, but that, it's just, he just completely took care of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't get up, I fortunately wasn't getting too worked up. I just, you know, it's hurt.
Yeah.
And so it's, you just, it's faithful.
The scripture says, doesn't God be, I mean, think of think exactly about the scripture. I mean, literally, it says, doesn't God take care of the birds?
Right.
The birds have no storage.
No
storage. The animals, and they live forever. You know, they don't stop living. Mm-hmm. And they eat every day, whatever. So, how much more will the Father will take care of you than the birds?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not this except So you know, I'll worry about other things. But what? So it's good.
That's what really blessed me about. I started listening to the Old Testament, and I heard Psalm 150 weeks ago, and I really, really listened to it. There was a line on it, and Psalm 150 talks about how He takes care of all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I started crying, you know. It's not just because I like animals, but I thought, it just blew me away how much He cared about them and how careful He was. And I'm like, just looking at what you're saying, I'm like, how much more care?
Right. You know, I shared this a few weeks ago. I don't remember if it was a Sunday or a Wednesday, but it's this scripture that I kind of twist, but in a good way, I guess. We are fathers. You know, we have our own kids, and we will do our best for our kids that we can. I mean, even if they don't deserve it, we give it to them. And we will go hungry so they can not go hungry. So we as this human fathers, fleshy fathers, will take care of our kids. Now think, the Bible says, if you that are evil do good things to those that you love,
right. You
know, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those, you know, that ask or whatever. Now think, in the same way, you know, if we that are evil love our son, and so how much more does the Heavenly Father that is not evil will love us? You know, so we have this Father that will do whatever for us. He will take care no matter what,
You know, a simple thing, I don't know if anybody thinks about it, but God didn't create animals, beautiful skies and everything just because that's what He wanted. He created all that for you.
You.
Because you're the most important thing in His creation. That's the only reason He made creations. Because He wanted us as fellowship with Him. If we would, but He'd give us a will that we don't have to. But it's when you stop and think about those things, I mean, and we've been seeing in the scriptures how we are His total concern, you know? And He wants to commune with us and abide with us and help us and guide us, you know. And the thing is, and I just confronts me all the time, here I'm only going to be on this silly earth for 70, 80, 90 years compared to an eternity. Why am I still so dumb, you know? I mean, you know, why am I not just, but He knows all that. And I was just reading in Romans, it says, God, because of God's wrath and everything, but He holds it back because He wants to show mercy first to whosoever.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, He has the right, because we all sin, to just wipe us out if He wanted to, but that's not what He wants. He wants us to come around, conform, and come to Him willingly. And then He'll take care of it. And then He'll show us mercy, you know.
Yes. You're right.
I've been waiting.
hands for your testimony. Do you feel up to it?
Which part?
Well, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Oh, there's just so much that kind of aligns for us really well. And looking back, it's like, obviously, there were plans. You know, we just didn't know the entire time what it would be. But going back to us just getting our house, we were searching for probably like 2 years, and just nothing worked out. All the houses, they were bad, they were sold out last minute. So we had finally been approved for a loan, and Ben wasn't making very much, and I wasn't working. And so we just had enough to be approved for the loan, and then there was no house. And the property we were going to buy was sold. It had been listed for multiple years. And it was sold the week we were going to put in our offer for someone else. So then I was just really sad, and we just kind of gave up for a little while. And then a few months later, the week of my birthday, there was a house that was listed, and it was everything we were looking for. And so we went and we looked at it, and we did the loan thing again, and we closed, or not closed, but we had an accepted offer at the end of that week. And so then we were able to buy this house. And then... there's just so much. Last year, you know, after Grandma passed and everything, I kind of started listening to the Bible all the time. I've got my little wonder Bible that Grandpa gave me in my kitchen, and we have another one that I kind of move around. And I just do the New Testament on a loop. And I just kind of feel like a different person since that. I just feel lighter. I used to really carry a lot of weight about kind of the things that I research and I know. And I just don't anymore because I put all that energy into praying and my family and focusing on God, because whatever I worry about, it's not going to change that. And I can't deny after the last few years that everything that has just worked out. So then now with being able to be at my grandpa's house and help take care of Chuck and everything, we were able to have a little bit more income. And then Ben has been waiting for the supervisor position in his job. And they promised him it would be a really good raise. He's been waiting and waiting and just didn't happen. It took a year or something of promises and it just wasn't happening. So there was another position that opened up that he applied for and didn't get. And he was pretty sad. These two other guys got it and he was thinking, you know, maybe he just wasn't good enough for that or something. So then there was... another position that opened up a few months later that was a different direction. And he applied for that, and then didn't they mark it to, like, he wasn't accepted or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
like
then...
some little automatic thing, like, I didn't check the right...
Well, it was something about experience, but it was, like, a month off of a computer automatic thing. So then, a little bit later, he contacted the person and said, hey, I just, you know, think I would make a good fit on your team. And they accepted him, and they pushed right through, and he got this position. And so he got a very, very significant raise. And he works completely from home and gets to do basically what he loves to do. And so now I've been working with Chuck and my grandpa, and he's been doing that. And we have to do, for our home loan, like a renewal kind of thing. And we are just about $600 below the limit of the max for the loan that we have at this point. So in the last 2 years, I never thought we would be to this point where we can actually afford our family and our house and everything. Because we didn't go to college. It was a different situation. We had very young. And just everything has worked out so perfectly. And I can't deny the last year of listening to the Bible basically 24/7. It's had a huge, huge impact with that.
What I was mostly interested in was your recent thing involving Gene.
Oh, that, yes.
Wait, I have to interject about Ben's job. But the position, remember, they were putting on blah, blah, blah. And
oh, that, yes.
There was an email.
Yeah, so he went to, he had been accepted for that first position, but it was sent to the wrong email. So had he gotten that, it would have been several dollars less.
Oh, yeah.
And he would be
working for him. Yeah, exactly. So he was, yeah.
No, the position that I've been working towards for so long, I've been doing that extra work because I was anticipating getting this position.
putting in the work now to get, you know, get the reward later. And when it didn't pan out originally, I was very discouraged. Very discouraged, and it was really hard to kind of keep in mind, like, hey, there's a reason why I didn't pan out. Hey, there's a reason why you didn't get the call on this one. There's a reason why I didn't go over, you know, they went to these two other people. And I held it. I had one day where I felt
he was upset. Ready to.
I had one day where I was upset. And for me, being upset is not helping somebody right away. So I had one day where I was pushing people, and I was like, hey, you know, you should probably reach out to the people that did get those jobs. Because they're going to be able to help you because they make the money to do it. I had one day at that. And then I must have been listening to, I know.
See, and that's the thing with Ben, he didn't choose to listen to the Bible. He just kind of
But it just, something just clicked to me that, you know, it didn't work, again, like it brought me back, that it didn't work out for really soon. Like, I need to keep doing well for people around me, no matter what does or doesn't pan out, there's a reason why it's only the way it goes. And
yes, and all those closed doors. You know, I knew
there's so many closed doors.
And it's just, I'm finding out. I wish I would have when I was so much younger. I probably talked to that a lot, but how many doors were open?
It's taken a few years to kind of look back and realize.
Yes, absolutely. It's fun for me, like the mother.
Well, it's a five door mother. I have to know that.
You know, I see the doors closed and they're sad and they're sad. They're sad and they tell me and they're sad and I'm like, well, no, but God's got to And then I'm on the other side, like, God, where's the better thing?
And I know that if you wouldn't have taken this exact path, I wouldn't have been able to take this last story.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been too much for me. I would have, you know, I had to do three interviews. One of them was like a video interview.
Very awkward.
It was super awkward, and it's something that a few years ago I never would have done. I would have said, nope, if that's a requirement of the job, they aren't going to get me. Like, I just won't do that. It happened in just three times.
Okay, keep on something else. Yes, now, Jean, yeah. Whenever Hannah posted on your Facebook, the message, I read that, and I think it was later that day or the next day, it was around that. And I was in the shower, and all of a sudden I just felt something.
Thursday morning.
I don't know, but I just prayed for like 15 minutes in the shower, standing there praying for you, and I couldn't stop. And so I've just kind of been waiting to hear that it's better. So then when I saw your Facebook post, I couldn't. I was
like, it was the same morning you got
the day that I posted.
Yes. She was telling us at breakfast,
and then I looked at Facebook and you made that post. It was the same morning.
You other girls are okay, but
she'll
look good.
You are.
I
have one of you.
Is that the way God does it?
Yeah.
Well, that was the same thing, Gina.
Oh, yeah, we're God. It was a definite God.
Well, yeah, when she shared that testimony, I thought I'd like to have her share it on the tape, on the CD. And that's kind of it impacted me. Because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to have such love for one another that, you know, there was a time back in about 1980. That we had a lot of people, a couple other people, and we had prayer meetings every night. And something was building in us that was phenomenal. And it was a love for one another. And the devil kind of stepped in and kind of twisted some things, you know, later on. But there was such a... And then, of course, that deliverance stuff broke out. But there was such a relationship. The night that deliverance started out, or broke out, Ryan and I were praying for Dan and men home. And just, we loved them. You know, we loved them. We were just really praying for them. And I'm beginning to feel that. You know, it's a real genuine something for other for people. And that's what the angel felt that, and she prayed for Jesus. And it's like, is God going to do something? When that happens, of course, God was doing something right then to create this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
it all comes back.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And she kind of like, you know, what is up? God allowed you to go do that, so she could
yeah.
that.
Well, right. God allowed, hey, first of all, the really great thing about all this is I'd rather be blind, okay? And I'm not, there's this old gospel or blues song that said that, but I'll tell you, I was in such a bad place, and I just couldn't reach the Lord. And then I went blind. Then I had my God.
Yeah, but at that point is when most people in your human thing is like, okay, I'm in a bad place. Now I'm maybe blind. I just want to die now.
Yeah, but it was just, I don't know. And so it was this thing, and it's there, and I'm thankful for it, and I don't want it to go away. But if it does, then I have to be blind, okay? You know, because I'd rather have him. And so then you get to do that. And I had a really black week. I mean, it had gotten here. One thing I thought, oh, it's getting worse. And then I had a really, it was like I wasn't seeing anything. And then it cleared up. I mean, I still have these swirlies, but I mean, I haven't seen you guys.
I mean, compared to the last two Sundays.
Right.
Especially, you know, when you give the testimony.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I wasn't seeing anything when I was on there.
Yeah.
Anyways, God's good, as Courtney would say.
Mommy.
All the time.
But yeah, he allows us to go through things so other people.
Yeah, that was an experience for me. I don't even know what I was saying. I was just
trying to manage.
That was
in
the shower.
It gave you an introspection, yeah.
And I managed to go through
things. Like a grandma's line.
Right,
a
mom, yeah.
No. Consequences are glorious.
Yeah, and then I was just waiting, and then when you told me about her, it was like, of course, yes, there, okay, fine, I just knew.
Why? Yes, yeah, God put it on her, and at that point, at the moment, you know.
That's great.
What's God's plan? Do not despair. Look at the phone we have today.
Yeah!
Wow. I was laughing because someone told me the other day that new mothers would only come if you had to take grandpa out for lunch. Not had to, but if grandpa didn't have anything else to have for lunch, that they would make sure to be here to take him for lunch, and then Schaefer would not be here, and Ken may be here. So, lunch.
Who said that?
Susan!
Oh,
wow. They told me about it. So we knew it was going to be all of my kids, my dad and Chuck, and maybe Ken. And I didn't tell my dad that, and I didn't tell the kids because I didn't want anybody to think, well, why are we just gathering upstairs that we might as well go at lunch? So I thought, no, it'll just go to lunch. How would they know? Let's just gather. It'll be us and kids. And
yeah, well, that's
so I told him that, oh, my dad can be in heaven now. But everybody's here.
What? Yep. We had to look around and where to park.
That wasn't exactly what
Lennon's heart
said.
But that's
said they made sure
it
should be here.
Right. Well, I think she thought we probably had other plans because they wanted to come to make sure if we wanted to come. Yeah, well, I think she did ours. But we never said that.
We had two plans set up for today. What can I do for you?
We did.
This is more important.
I hope this doesn't throw things off, but it's been a good 35 minutes or more, and the kids have been great.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Sweethearts.
I have something to say. When we were coming to church, our neighbor, Josh, has one or two little ones, I'm not sure. Anyway, he was out in the yard, so we stopped and we said, "Happy Easter," whatever. He said, "Oh, you're going to church?" He said, "Yeah."
No, we told him we were going.
Well, he said, "Where are you going?" And we said, "To church." And he said, "Yeah, I haven't gone to church, and my little one's getting kind of old. I guess I better take her to church."
No, he said that
The little girl's name was Sophie, right?
Sophie, yeah.
Yeah. And Sophie's been asking about Jesus and God. So maybe I better start going and taking her to church. Well,
We didn't
say anything because
we didn't.
This is the first time we had little ones here for how long? we're kind of what we call ourselves up at the campground or in the geriatric end because it's all old folks.
But it's just amazing how God works.
But I guess
almost all of them, or maybe all of the other ones, listen to the scripture. Which, as far as I'm concerned, that precedes church.
Right.
That's beyond and above church. Mm-hmm. And if the church is not biblically founded, if the Bible is not, if they're not based in the Bible, that's not necessarily the right plan to be anyway.
They labor in vain.
I'm putting him on my prayer list.
So you can't. You can't use that as a.
But God uses it to take him somewhere. And that's what I'll pray for, is to take him to the right thing. Right.
You know, when you think about it, what's neat about playing the Bible 24/7 with your little kids, they can still be little kids and play and run around, do what they want, but somewhere along the line, a little bit is drifting in.
Yeah.
They may not understand what's being said, but it's getting there. You know, you put them in a church, they got to sit there, and kids don't like to sit. You know. But at home with that Bible plan, they can be themselves, and they're still getting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why it's the same as us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
The strange thing that I never really understood or I never really thought that much about it, is that some of these little ones love to listen to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that don't really make sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. Oh. Yeah, but you know what the reason is? They got a spirit like we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And their little spirit is Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they're life. Mm-hmm. And what the Holy Spirit does is, to us, the Bible seems to be just letters, just words. And a lot of them, they don't make sense. But what happens with the Holy Spirit, he takes those letters, those words, and he turns them into spirit nature. He changes them. That's why the Word of God is a sword of the Spirit, the Bible tells us. The Holy Spirit is the one that takes the scriptures and turns them into spirit. And that's what's happening to us. That's what's happening to me. After all these years, God's Word is different. It's changing. It's becoming life. That's what he said. The words I speak are spirits and life.
Mm. We bought Hadrian, my grandson's children's Wonder Bible for Christmas. And he listens to it every day. He likes it. He says it's calming.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad description for the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
And it's like somebody's reading to them all the time. Somebody's reading a story. You know, it's just like they read to it. They like to listen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just like Jesus.
The other day, Lennox said something to me about, we talk about God all the time, but she said, God isn't real. And it was along the lines of, like, holiday. Yeah. And I said, no, he is, though. He is. And she goes, what? And so we had a nice long chat about it, and she was so happy. So then that night, I prayed with them, and she said, wait, can I have my turn? And I said, okay, God, I'll pass it to Lennox. So she said, do you remember what she said? You want me to say it? She said something about, God, please show me how to be and what to do so I can be happy and something along those lines. And that was her turn, but she was asking God.
Because now
he was So now she wants him to show her how to be and how to act and how to be happy. And that was her own little prayer.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. You know, when Hannah was really little, 3 or 4, she said to us, well, I don't believe in God. Was it God or Jesus?
I think it was God.
Okay. Yeah. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, I can't see him. You know, we were, and I was driving in the car with her, and I remember just praying, Lord, I prayed out loud, show Hannah what you're like, blah, blah, blah. And then the next morning, she had a dream that night of him. And the next morning, she said, Mother, I believe in God now because I saw him in my dream. And I'm like, oh, my God. So God is, you know,
well, let's
you're not too young.
She did tell me that she has bad dreams, and then that, like, the next night or 2 nights later, she said, are we going to pray again? Because when we pray, I have good dreams, not bad dreams.
Yay, yay.
So she wants to pray every night.
Good.
I think it's very important to be honest about this thing. Nope. If you have no reason for thinking there's a God, pretending that you believe in God is... that's just dishonest is all that is.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
Honest.
No. I'm supposed to believe, so I will. Right. You know, that doesn't cut it, you know? If you don't believe in God, right? You don't believe in God. And he will honor that and give you some reason to believe in him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then, if we read a little further, it says, for he that would come to God must first believe that God is. But it says in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and that the word of God. So when they're hearing the word of God, it will build faith inside somehow.
Believe that he is. Amen.
Supernaturally, it'll build faith until they do believe God. But without faith, and see, and then it says through faith in the same chapter, it says we understand. Well, it's like, that don't make sense either. How do you understand without somebody teaching you? Or whatever. But you are being taught. Mm-hmm. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God.
Yep.
You know what? There's not too many college professors that believe that.
No.
But,
you know, God knocks that heart. Or he does, when you look back, you realize all the different times that he closed the doors, opened the doors. But he does, you know, every time that you're driving and you, I know it sounds silly, but and you see a car accident and you went past it, you weren't in there. God allowed, spared you for that moment. That's when you go, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I was late 2 minutes and I wasn't part of that. You know, there's so many things that God saves us from that we don't realize. Like the thing with the parking spot, you know, driving around the parking spot, Lord, give me a spot close, I'm in a hurry, blah, 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 and then, oh, never mind, Lord, I found one. You know, and it's like, God does a lot for us, and Christian or not, he's our Father, he created us, you have to believe that, and he's always looking for another way to show us that he's real and he's there. And he expects the reaction to be accepting, and we don't. But sometimes it's like, I don't know that his opportunity wears out or if it doesn't, but sometimes I think he gets a little quiet. You know, the teacher's always quiet during the test, it seems like, you know. So sometimes it's I don't know. Sometimes in my own life, when I watch myself or others, it's like I can see that God is showing them or wanting to show them, and I hope that they take it like that. Because I don't know that God, I don't think he runs out of opportunities or chances, but you can only turn away so many times until I feel God kind of is quiet at that point.
Mm.
you know, I don't know.
He'll always be there for you. If you turn
he will, but it's like, you know, you say no or turn away sometimes.
What? If you turn to him.
Yeah.
Right, that, right. That's right.
Well, God knows what you want, but he also wants you to ask for it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You can't just expect him to give it to you without asking for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he'll make a decision if he's going to give it to you or not. You know. But it's in his hand.
And according to his will.
Yeah.
Ask his will. You know, but he needs to line up with his will.
When Josh always will come to me with something else. I don't have the answer. Turn it over to the Lord. And she'll say, oh, I forgot. Yes. Oh. Turn it over.
Well, I'm glad to see all these young folks here. I had a sensation of feeling that joy that he has with his family here, you know, I almost felt that, you know, it was good, you know, I'm thinking, now I got to do that with my own, but I don't know where to start, because they're so set in their ways, you know.
It's very warm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And not only that, all the girls have their husbands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Bonnie, but not one of Bonnie's family girls. No, meaning my girls and their
husbands. Yeah, girls and their husbands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Family.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. What's it Wednesday? You know, you were talking about the coals of fire on the shore, remember? You know,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, how did all this? You know, just don't worry, you know, you don't know. Don't worry about how.
Right.
Don't worry about how. You know. Yeah.
Except.
Yeah.
Well, Ben and Angel and Cole and Chelsea and James and Brittany, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
Come again. We're already open.
Yes, yes. And your eternal life.
We love you guys.
It's so valuable to me. And I pray for you guys. I am so thankful that you're listening to the scriptures. I tell you what, going to church really doesn't cut it. And this church or the other church. There's a scripture that says, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And you get the light from the Word of God. Christ gives you the light to the Word. I have been taught over the years that it's kind of like that Jesus had a dual personality, or that he would speak sometimes from God and sometimes from himself. And the people that taught me that did not know the scriptures. Because here's what Jesus said. He said, I do always speak what the Father tells me to speak. He didn't say, I do sometimes. He said, I do always.
Yeah.
He was totally obedient. And so what we have in the Bible is the Word of God through Christ. And so Christ will give you light, and Christ is going to give us light and understanding. And so our ongoing relationship with God's Word is where it's at. It's not going to a church.
Church is at best a supplement.
Yeah. And if the church is not preaching the Word of God, that's a dangerous place to be. Because the Word of God is where God is. I had that experience 20 years ago. And sometime around the time that Dominic was born, and I heard a voice, and it's the only time it's ever happened, and I was desperate, and I heard this voice, and it said, if you're serious, and pause, and if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. That was a strange thing, and what happened is I understood a lot of things, and one other thing that I understood, I never did find God where I was looking.
Yeah.
I was looking for him in the doctrines of the church, and he's not there. There's a private interpretation, most of them, they're not scripturally founded. And so I was led to start listening to the scriptures. And I started preaching it, teaching it, preaching it. I kept on at it because I was pushed to. The Bible says to as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, and I was led to do that. And others are being led to do the same thing. We got to, you know, you want to find God, you got to look for God where God is. You can't look for, you know, the Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture, and the entire Bible is a prophecy. But it's not as I used to think it was. It's the whole thing is prophecy, but it says no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The vast majority of what is being taught in church after church, even today, is private interpretation. Something that came into somebody's head and they were convinced that it was the truth and that's what they taught. Been there, done that. Can't find fault with them because I did the same thing until God. I cried out in desperation. And when we get desperate, God hears us. He heard me. It made me realize that if I want to go to heaven, I got to do it His way. I can't do it the Pharisee way. It don't work. I got to do it God's way. And so that's my exhortation of today. You want to find God? You do it His way. Jesus said, no man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son will reveal him. How? Through this. He doesn't audibly speak very much. You know, he might, but he doesn't usually do that. I have a picture at the house. It's actually a two-part, like a little comedy thing, but it's not. But there's the first picture, there's a fellow praying, and he says, Lord, speak to me. In the next scene, there's two scenes, the next scene shows an arm coming down from heaven with the Bible in it.
I saw a bumper sticker, and I don't remember exactly what the words were. The words were probably a little better than what I remember, but it was want to hear God talk? Read the Bible.
Yeah.
You want to hear Him speak audibly? Get a recording of the Bible.
So, I have been listening to the Scripture day and night for almost 20 years until I finally got two machines. And one of them lasted a week, the other one lasted almost a day. And Candy's going to take them back. They should be working, but they won't. So now I'm coming up with the Cadillac of the system. And which I don't have a clue what it is. Pablo was the one that was kind enough to kind of get it going, but it's a whole Bible on something that Brittany had the other day that's about the size of my thumbnail. And so anyway, I'm still waiting for it to get set up. And with no moving parts. So
he keeps telling me I'm lying. Grandpa, so I wouldn't put it in my speaker, and then I wouldn't put it in my computer, and I put it in my TV just to prove to him that I was not lying.
I can't believe that. That's how he taught
me. It's kind of been around for a while.
Yeah. That don't matter.
So so has Keith, which is why.
But I want to serve Emily.
What, do you have something to say? I'd like to ask for a prayer for Doug and Chris Castro and Red and Paul live out there.
Duncan Creek. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have such a mess with that damage. They have to move all those cement things out of the creek. I don't know how to bring them up, but that's their.
That's right. I saw that and I went, oh no.
Oh, yeah.
That's those guys. That's what I did.
Does that affect Steve's property?
Yeah, Steve owns that dam.
Steve what?
Owns that dam.
Oh.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. He's responsible.
Ooh. That's the expense of it.
Well, yeah, he's practically at welfare now. Okay. I mean, whatever God can do, God, right? I mean, there's a purpose in the whole thing.
That we do it this very minute.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Laura B. asked that you take that mess of the situation.
Yes.
And make some kind of workable order around it.
Yes.
For Ben, Laura. Oh, yes, Lord.
That's right.
It seems impossible, but Lord, you take the impossible and you make it just real possible. Thank you for that.